All right. Thank you, Kevin. Tell you what, we need folks in the will of God for such a time as this, don't we? Foster Club soul winning will be called off also on Saturday. So I failed to get that. I think I saw it written down somewhere and passed over it. But that's the ladies' group, the Foster Club, on Saturday morning. Be calling it off for this Saturday. We'll be bus breakfast. Take more than a little old hurricane to stop that. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Tim Manus to come up. He's going to introduce our speaker tonight. I've met and remembered Brother Spears, but I've asked Tim to come introduce him.
Thank you, preacher. Brother Spears is a dear friend of mine, and I haven't known him very long, but he's one of those guys, you get to know him, you feel like you've known him for a long time. Amen? And so he's a dear friend of me, and might as well be family in my book. I can call him if I've got a prayer request, and I know he'll pray for it. And so, Brother Spirit, you come on and preach for us, and you college students, this is what we tell you guys in chapel all the time, sit up, open your Bibles, and expect to hear something from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Brother Spirit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here tonight. I pray I can say something on this hurricane night. I pastored in Pensacola, Florida. I don't miss all that stuff, I can tell you that. But it is good to be here tonight. I hope that I can help you. And I hope you won't turn me off because I'm going to use a familiar text. But I want you to go to the book of John, if you would. The book of John, chapter number 2. And I'll be doing this a little different so you can listen here well. I won't be long. John, chapter number 2. And we want to read starting in verse number 1. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone at the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3frankincense piece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, draw out now and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they bared it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man that beginning doeth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This, the beginning of the miracles, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I'm preaching on the subject tonight of saving of the water pots. Now, if you take John's important book, I believe John's divided in 3 sections. I believe chapter 1 up to chapter 12, you see, Jesus does the work of a prophet. If you notice, he's always foretelling. She said, come and see this man that told me everything I ever did. Yeah. Said, Nathaniel, I knew that was you, and you was under the fig tree. But in chapter 13 through 17, he does the work of a priest. He washes disciples' feet in chapter 13 because he's getting ready to go to the holiest of place there in heaven. And so he washes and he makes his priestly prayer in chapter 17. In chapter 18 through 21, he does the work of a king. That's because he's prophet, priest, and king. Amen. Now what he does, he takes these 7 miracles in John and he tells us how to be saved. Now stay with me and I'll get to where I'm going. Now the first miracle, we see a water pot. And you say, what's the problem here? The problem is the pots are empty. And that tells us that man is empty inside. And he needs Jesus to come along and fill him up. Amen. He's empty. The sinner's empty tonight. Yeah. And then the second miracle is the nobleman's son. You remember that? He's at the point of death. And the Bible says that the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him. This tells me that man must have faith to be saved. Amen. He just believed Jesus, what Jesus said. And he was healed, his son was. But the third miracle is found in John 5 at the Pool of Bethesda. You know, this shows us, you remember that man had been out there 38 years. It shows us, he said, I'd like to get in the water, but I have no man to put me in. It tells us that the sinner has no strength to save himself. Amen. He's in bad shape. The fourth miracle was the feeding of the 5,000. And this shows us that man has a natural hunger that he cannot satisfy. Right. Jesus said, you eat of that bread, you'll never be satisfied. Yes. But then we come to the fifth miracle. That's in John 6. They're out there, and the Bible said the sea rose up by reason of a great wind. And Jesus comes walking out there on the water, and it tells us that the sinner needs to be rescued. Jesus rescued those drowning disciples. And I'm going to tell you, you need to be rescued tonight. You're not here by accident tonight. You're here on purpose. God has you here if you're lost so he can rescue you. Well, the sixth miracle is a blind man found in John chapter 9. He's blind. He's been blind from his birth. You know the sinner's blind tonight. He needs eyesight. Amen. But then I look at the seventh miracle. There's a dead man. And that's the last enemy. We have Lazarus. The sinner's dead. He can't feel God. He don't have any senses of God tonight. But I'm looking at this first miracle. He starts out with a wedding in his ministry, and it's going to end up in a wedding. Thank God for that. Amen. Now you say, what is it? It's water pots. Just these water pots were just clay water pots. Kind of reminds me of Jeremiah. He said, I went down to the potter's house. And you're that water pot tonight. You're on the wheel of life, and he's going to make something out of you. Now let me say this, the world wants to make something out of you. Be not conformed to this world. Do you know how you conform something? You put pressure on it. There's so much pressure on young people. You know why? The world's trying to make something out of you. But you're in the potter's house tonight. And that's a good place to be made something. That's where I was made something. I was made something at the potter's house. But it won't be no good unless you get in the potter's hand. Thank God I got in the hand of the potter. And he has me on the wheel. And when he gets done, it's been predestinated that I'm going to be conformed into the image of his son. He wants to make you like Jesus. I can tell whose hand you're in. Let me just look at you. The world's making something. He's making something. Are y'all with me? I'm trying to tell you, you got to get in the potter's hand. Amen. Hey, it's in the potter's heart. I'm glad I was in the potter's heart. And I got in the potter's hand at the potter's house. Yes. And I'm preaching on these water pots tonight. Did you notice something? What they had in verse 3, the Bible tells us what they had ran out. Yes. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's all going to run out. Right. I've seen it run out on people. I was raised, and of course you don't know me, but I played music professionally. I traveled 18 months with Hank Williams Jr., around a lot of people like that. I thought about a country singer that I knew by the name of Farron Young. You say, what happened to Farron Young? It all ran out. You see, it all runs out. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower, he said, thereof falleth away. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how big you are and how much you got and how good a condition you're in tonight, but I'm here to preach you today. You're nothing but a water pot, and what you have runs out. But I'm glad, thank God, I got in the potter's hand one night. Now I've got something that ain't never going to run out tonight. I've got something that's eternal. You can have it too. But I'm telling you, it all runs out. Did you notice what he said? He said the glory of it runs out. All the fame, all the fame that this world can give a man. I knew a guy I played music with. He's in the Country Music Hall of Fame. 7 million sellers. His name's Keith Whitley. Keith Whitley is from Kentucky. Keith Whitley, if you go to the Hall of Fame, his motorcycle's in there. His guitar's in there. You know what he died? He died. He died in May of 1989 of alcohol poisoning. You say, what happened to him? All of his glory run out. Everything he had run out. He was just an old water pot. Hey, he didn't have nothing inside. I'm glad I've got something inside. Ain't you glad you got something inside? I'm glad God saved me and put something inside of me. Amen. I give an illustration. Jim, you might have seen me do this illustration. I think it kind of illustrates that. When you see a woman in the Bible and she can't have a baby, it's a picture of somebody that's lost. For instance, Hannah. Hannah was dead inside. And so she went and talked to the Lord, and you remember the story. She came back, and I said, I can imagine Hannah. 4 or 5 months later, she's laying there, and she says to Mr. Hannah, she said, honey, I feel something. He said, well, what's wrong? She said, well, you know, I was dead inside, and I went up there and talked to the Lord ever since. I've been feeling something in me. I feel like I got life in me. That's the way I feel, don't you? I felt life in you. I said, can you imagine, oh, Hannah, she's got an old nosy neighbor, and her old neighbor looks over there, and she says to her husband, I'll tell you, there's something different about that, Hannah. I don't know what it is, but there is something different about her. He says, go over there and check it out. So she goes over and checks it out. She says to Hannah, Hannah, I've been noticing you're changing. She said, what do you mean? She said, you're getting bigger. What's happened to you? She said, well, I'll tell you, I was dead inside. I was dead inside. I went up and talked to the Lord. He put life in me. And ever since, I've been growing. I'm going to tell you, if you're not growing, you might not have nothing in there. Amen. Y'all stay with me. I believe when you get something in there, you start growing. Amen. Can you imagine Hannah? About 4 o'clock in the morning, she bumps Mr. Hannah. He says, honey, what do you want? She said, I want some pickles and ice cream. He says, baby, I want you to know, ever since you got this life in you, your appetite sure has changed. I'm glad my appetite changed when I got something in me. And when you get something in you and in that old water pot, thank God things start changing. Amen. I kind of like that. Amen. Can you imagine? Mr. Hannah says, Hannah, would you like to go to Walmart? She said, okay, I will. Let me go get my tight britches on. And so she goes in there, and she starts. He says, honey, what's wrong with you? She said, ever since I got this life in me, I can't wear what I used to wear. I'm going to tell you, her apparel started changing. Her inside started changing. She started changing. You get something in you, you'll start changing. You start changing from the inside out. Y'all with me? I'm trying to tell you. Praise God. Can you imagine old Hannah walking down through there? There she goes. She's just a wobbling. And old Mr. Hannah, he's walking behind her. He says, honey, I want you to know, you sure don't walk like you used to. Ever since you got that life in you, I'm glad I don't walk like I used to. I'm glad all that stuff's run out. I've got something new tonight. I've got something in me I can feel. I've got something in me. I got life in me, just like Hannah had life in her. You see, it all runs out. The Bible says in 1 John 2:17, the world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Until this world's going to pass away, it's all going to be gone. Amen. I read about the great preacher Truett. He was talking to an old man one day, had all kinds of money. And so the old man said to Truett, he said, now, he said, you see that way? He said, going west. He said, I own all about the cattle going that way. I own them cattle. He said, going east. He said, I own all the oil wells. He said, going north. He said, I own the fields going that way. He said, going south, I can't tell you how much I own. He said, what would you have that I'd possibly need? And Truett, in his wisdom, said, let me ask you, how much do you own going that way? That's what's going to count. Do you have anything going that way? You understand? I'm telling you, it all runs out here, you see. Amen. Now you say, what was it? The pots were empty. They were empty inside. The center's empty. They're trying to fill it with dope and drinking. Y'all with me? Trying to fill it what they can. If you're here lost tonight, you feel empty inside because you are empty inside. You need to do what Hannah did. You need to meet the Lord tonight. Amen. Now, listen, they had a problem with them water pots. But had a plan for the water pots. Yeah. Now you say, what was the plan? Here's the plan, verse 5. Whatever he says to do, do it. Right. That's a good plan. Amen. The problem was the water pots were empty. I'm glad God had a plan. Yes, sir. I'm glad he had a plan. Amen. God's got a plan. You say, what is the plan? You come to Jesus and be born again. That is the plan. He's planned to do it through birth. You see, he said this. He said the cattle are going to produce after their own kind. Did you know that? The birds are going to produce after their own kind. And this after their own kind. You know what God did? God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to produce one after my own kind. And he did that through birth.
Yes.
Yes, sir. See, there's part of me that's just like him.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's like Ed Spears, and there's a part of me like God. Right. I'm glad he produced somebody after his own kind. Right. You say, how did he do that? He did it through birth.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
This is kind of interesting. I've told this a lot of times. I've got social worker license for Kentucky, and so I had to take all these classes. This was amazing. A doctor came in one time, was teaching a class. He was teaching Bible, but he didn't know he was teaching Bible. He came in, he said, now today we're going to show you how a woman has a baby. And so we sat down in this class. Now here's what he said. I'm telling you, these were his words. He said, first of all, he said, a female must shed blood or she can't have a baby. I said, she's got to be able to shed blood. There's got to be a shedding of blood or there's no birth.
Right.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Right. But here's what got me. He said, number two, he said, a woman has to shed water. He said, if her water don't break, she's not having a baby. I got to thinking, the first time I was born at Bethesda Hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. There was blood and water everywhere. The second time I was born at Calvary, and they stuck a spear in his side, and out come blood and water. You got to be born again. Now, what got me was they showed us this little film. Now, they started showing this film. He said, now you see that thing that looks like a tadpole. He said, that's the seed. And he said, that seed and that egg gets together. He said, it's going to produce a baby. He said, but them two's got to get together. Now, see, you can't have a baby with just having the egg. But he said, you got to have the seed, too. But you can't have a baby just having the seed. You say, how did you get born again? I tell you, I got born again. The seed, the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. That seed, hey, that Word, and the Holy Spirit of God got in the womb of my heart. Them two came together, and I got born again.
Amen.
God has a plan.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, notice what he does. Verse 7, he fills those water pots.
Yes.
Now you say, what's that mean? That word filled means he satisfied that water pot. You wouldn't get no more in it.
Amen.
Amen. I got satisfied when I got saved. Do you know why so many people are not satisfied in church? I'm afraid we've got a lot of people just might have missed it.
Yeah.
I worry about people are not satisfied.
Amen.
It'd be good for some of you young people to learn to be content. Amen. Did you notice that? Paul said you got to learn to be content.
Yes.
I'm one of 79 grandchildren.
Yeah.
My grandma had 16 kids, produced 79 grandchildren. I kid my kids all the time. I said, we didn't have nothing to do. We used to make games up, or we'd play games. I said, we'd play catch your finger. You put your finger here and try to catch it before it gets over here. You do that for about 8 hours, you'll go nuts. But we learned to be content. We was always behind time. I went to Texas in a 49 Hudson Hornet, 1973. Y'all with me? I used the outside toilet till 1973. I'm glad the water pot's satisfied now. And since I've got saved, I've learned to be content. Whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. You know, you'll never get that until your water pot gets full.
Yeah,
right. Long as you got room in your pots, you'll try to put something in it.
Right.
But you let him fill it up.
Yeah.
You let him satisfy the water pot.
Right.
Oh, bless his name. I'm glad, thank God, he satisfies those. He told that woman at the well, he said, you drink this water, you'll never thirst again.
Hallelujah.
I've got one more background. If you get on the internet, there's a book. They called him Brother Masters. That's my grandpa. They called him Brother Masters. You say he was Church of Christ. I was saved out of the Church of Christ. He was the biggest Church of Christ in this country. And my great grandpa, John Wesley Masters, was Church of Christ. You get on that book, you can read about my family. They called him Brother Masters. I got saved out of that. But listen, I was baptized twice in the Church of Christ. It never did satisfy me. I never felt like I was saved. I never knew that I was saved. Oh, but that night at the Carthage Baptist Church, in Cincinnati, Ohio, hey, you know what I did? I got satisfied. I've not tried to get saved ever since. He filled the water pot. Now, notice what he does in verse 10. Here's what he does. He put something in there better that was what was in there before. He said, you kept the best for last. I wouldn't trade what I got for nothing.
Yeah.
I got away from God 3 years. 3 years. Got aggravated. Got out of church. Fell 20-some feet from a ladder. That's why this back looks like what it does. But I got away from God, and I got into music. I told you I got into music. A friend of mine had a song that went number one, and I was traveling with him, and so he began to open shows for Hank Williams Jr. Let me tell you what happened to me. I'll tell you, my wife was going to church. She was taking the kids to church, and I was away from God, and backstage at Dayton O'Hare Arena in Dayton, Ohio, I looked over, and I remember I was sitting with a fiddle player of Farron Young's, and he looked at me. Here's what he said. He said, I'm tired of this life. He said, I've been raised better than this. He said, when I get back, I'm gonna get my life right. Boy, I'll tell you what, God was already working on me. And I remember being in that dressing room and looking at them people. And I remember they had a group there called the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. They were getting ready to go on stage. And I looked and I thought, you know, these people are gonna have to answer to God someday. And God said, you are too. And I got to thinking, I've got something better than this life. I've got something better. I've been saved. You know, and don't take this wrong, but I was one of them. I didn't know how long I was saved. I didn't really believe that you could be saved forever until I tried to get lost. And I found out I couldn't get lost. And I found out he gave me something better. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't trade what I got tonight for all that glamour and all that glory and all that big bunch of mess. You ought to thank God tonight. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've not been ripped off. God's not ripped you off. God's been good to you. Praise God. We have the best young people in the world. We have the best people in the world. Hey, he put something in us better. What they had ran out. And what they said? They said, we can't believe you give us something better than we had. Now, did you notice something about this miracle? It took place inside the water pot.
Yes.
It don't say that the water pot, he done a miracle on the outside of the water pot.
Right. Yes.
But the miracle took place on the inside. Praise God. I'm glad there's a miracle took place on the inside of this water pot.
Amen.
Amen. There's power to me. I told you, there's power to me. I'm as righteous as God is.
Yes.
God has made him to be sin.
Yes.
Who knew no sin?
Right.
That I might be made the righteous of God in him.
Yeah.
God saved me. You know how he saved me? He saved me all the way.
Yeah.
Now you say, what are you talking about? Number one, he saved my mind.
Right.
Jesus said, you don't have to commit adultery. Have you ever thought about it?
Yes.
You know what he's saying? Man's intellect is depraved against God.
Right.
Bible says, Psalms 10:4, you know what it says? It says, God's not in the thoughts of the wicked.
Right.
You say, how? Now, let me show you something. That's why the Bible said, he that knew no sin.
Right.
Jesus' intellect was perfect.
Yes.
That's why mine's covered tonight.
But.
Number two, 1 John 3:5 says, in him was no sin.
Yes.
That covers my insides.
Yeah.
That covers my heart. How the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, adultery, fornication. All that comes from the heart of man. You see, my insides are covered. My insides are saved. Say, why? He knew no sin. That covered my intellect. Amen. In him was no sin. That covered my insides. But now listen, Peter said it like this. Over there, I believe it's in 1 Peter 2. He said, he did no sin. That covers my actions.
Yes.
Now he knew no sin, any of no sin, he did no sin. All I tell you tonight is I'm covered.
Amen.
But he started on the inside. Praise God. I'm glad he saves the inside. He came to save souls.
Amen.
He didn't come to save flesh. He came to save souls.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad. Now I see the praise of the water pot. Now he say he did something. Now in verse 11, here's why he did it. Let me show you. Look at verse 11. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifest forth his glory. You know why he saved you? Not because you're a good water pot. He saved you for his glory.
Yeah.
He saved you for his good pleasure.
Right. Amen.
You see, you thought this miracle's about the wedding. No, it's about the water pots. That's who's going to get all the glory. He's going to get glory because he did something with these old discarded water pots.
Right. Yeah.
Just a bunch of old empty water pots. Now, I wouldn't have thought that at the beginning of the story, but he looks over and he sees these old water pots. He said, bring them here. I want to do something with them.
Yes.
Matter of fact, here's what he's saying. I'm going to get glory out of these old water pots. Ain't it amazing how God will take people you wouldn't think get glory?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's true.
Tony Hudson one time had me to come and tell about Willie Hope. Let me tell you about Willie Hope. You bus people. Now y'all listen. Willie Hope. John Rawlings used to bus about 3,000.
Yeah.
Hard to believe that, but he did.
Yeah.
He had a fella he used to go see. You got to know John. He does stuff I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Whew. But he'd go see Willie. Willie's wife was coming to church. And Willie's kids was coming to church, and so John, Willie drank. Willie had always drank. He'd always have a quart of beer. He'd be sitting there drinking beer. And so you got to know John, he got tired of Willie. And so he went over there one day, and Willie said, hey, Rawlings, did you pray for me? He said, I did. He said, I appreciate it. He said, yeah. He said, I pray God will throw you in hell before the day's over. Willie said, what? And he said, you're bound determined you're going to go to hell. And he said, you're going to drag them kids to hell. He said, you're a sorry daddy and you're a worse husband. He said, you might as well go to hell. He said, tonight when you lay down, I want you to know I'm praying God just go ahead and throw you in hell before you damage somebody. He said, you think about that tonight. And so Willie laid down that night, and he said, all I could see was those big bushy eyebrows. Now, he did things I wouldn't do, but I'm just telling you what he told me. Willie told me this now. He said he called up the Landmark the next day, Landmark Baptist Church. Right. He said, y'all need a bus driver? And the lady kind of knew him. She said, well, let me talk to the preacher. And so he talked to John, and John was having a staff meeting. And that time, Carl Hatch was on there, and different ones was on his staff. And he said he got there and said, Hatch said, you're not going to let a lost man drive a bus, are you? John said, I am, if he can start a route. That's John. So he started a route. That route came down 7217 Van Kirk Avenue, where I lived. So he got about 30 people on a bus. So it's pretty good now. I wish I'd have been there. I wasn't here when it happened. But Brother Rawlings would come down and talk to all the church, all the bus kids. He'd come down and, you know, talk to us. Well, one morning when I wasn't there, now, but Willie had been doing this 3 or 4 months. John said, does anybody got anything to thank God for? John said, there's a little girl they picked up in a trailer park, and she had a little white dress on, and said her little hair was matted and her dress was kind of dirty. She said, I do. She said, I want to thank God for bus driver Willie. If he didn't pick me up, I couldn't come to church. And about that time, one of those little boys said, I want to thank God for bus driver Willie. If he didn't pick me up, I couldn't come to church. And one by one. And Rawlings told me, he said, he looked down, and he said tears was running off of Willie's nose. And he said, Willie, he said, wouldn't you like to get saved? And Willie just fell down right there. He fell down right there and said, oh, I would. He said, them little kids was patting him on the back. Everything's going to be all right, Willie. Willie Holt became the head of the buses at Landmark Christian. I'm telling you, God could take an old water pot somebody's thrown away. They ain't much, but God takes and makes something out of them. Ain't you glad of that? Ain't you glad that God can do that? That he can take something that nobody else wants? Amen. Praise God. You see, he saved you. Now listen, he saved you, number one, he saved you to worship him, to bring him glory. He didn't save you just to sit here. He wants worship. You say, how do you know? He seeks such a one to worship him. That word seek, if you look that up, it has the idea of turning rocks over. He's a seeking. He's really looking. See, seek is more than just a look. That means he's really looking in here for somebody to worship him. Amen. He seeks such a one to worship him. Y'all with me? Amen. Now, worship always leads to praise. You see, praise is outward. Did you ever notice praise is outward? You praise him by lifting up hands. Praise him with your voice. Y'all with me? You can write that down. It's outward. That's why. Now watch here. Watch this. I'm showing you something about worship. Now listen. Number one, you got to praise him. You got to do it with your lips. Yeah, that's in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Praise him with your lips. You say, well, I do it silently. That's pretty good, but ain't the way he said to do it. I do it with my tears. That sounds good, but he didn't say it, do it that way. He said, do it with your lips. Right. Number two, Revelation 5, they did it loud. I heard with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb.
Yes.
Worship always have volume to it.
Yes.
Might not like that, but it's Bible. You do it with your lips, you do it loud. And then there in Hebrews 13, 15, he said, do it continually. That means you do it long.
Amen.
I like people to do it long. You say, what are you talking about? We had a woman, her name was Miss Redmond. I was on staff at a church, and Miss Redmond, she was a worshiper. And so we went to the nursing home to see her. I'm talking about doing it long. Do it till the day you die. And the preacher looked and he said, now, Miss Redmond, we're here. And she was in a feeble position, you know. And he said, now, we're going to sing to you, Miss Redmond. So we got around the bed and he started singing. I was standing on the banks of the river. She went, ooh. Looking out over life's troubled sea. When I heard that old ship, it was sailing.
Yes.
Boy, he got that play. At the stern of the ship stood the captain. She went, woo! She did it loud. She did it loud. Now, y'all stay with me. The reason you have outward praise is because you got an inward worship.
Yeah.
See, you can fake praising. But you can't fake worship, because that has to be done in spirit and truth. You can try to worship God all you want. If you've never been born again, it can't be done. You don't have nothing to worship him with. Y'all with me? So worship ends up in praise. The only reason you're praising outward, because something's happening on the inside. Inside the water pot. Now watch what he wants. Now here's what he wants. Number one, he wants your attention. If you don't have your attention, you're not going to worship.
Right.
That's why he wants you to meditate on him. He wants you to memorize him.
That's right.
He wants you to mimic him.
Good.
That's somebody that's got his attention.
Yeah.
You say, well, I ain't out worshiping. Does he have your attention? And then he's got to have your affections. Set your affections on things above. You understand? That's why the Bible says, and you college student, no man entangle himself with the affairs of this life and warreth. You know why? You can't get entangled up with the world, because you know what'll happen? Your affections will go that way.
Right.
See, Jesus gave you an illustration of that. Now listen to what he always said. He said, the Bible said he gave. Now here's what he did. He said, in thy hands I commend my spirit. You know what God wants? He wants your spirit.
Yes.
Now you say, how do I know if he's got my spirit? What turns you on?
Yeah.
If you're more excited about that out here than you are here, that's got your spirit.
Yeah.
My daughter, I've got my daughter, she just never cleaned a room. My wife would finally say, you're just going to have to whip her. And so I'd go in there, I'd tell her, you're going to clean your room, you're getting a whipping. And so she'd go to dusting, she'd be crying, and she'd dust like this. I had her doing it, but I didn't have her spirit. That's why some church members are. They come to church like that. That's why somebody does a bus route, they'll never be no good unless you got their spirit. You're spinning your wheels, and you know that you know whether you got somebody or not.
Yes.
So does God.
Amen.
Into thy hands. You know what you need to do now? Come forward and say, in thy hands I commend my spirit.
Yes.
I'm going to set all my affections, my attention. Now watch. He wants to be the attraction.
Yes.
He's going to have first place or nothing.
Right.
He's going to be the attraction. This church, you know who ought to be the attraction in this church? It ought to be Jesus. Everything toward Jesus.
Right.
I tell them all the time, we got a great visitation program. Say, what's your visitation program? Here it is. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me.
Amen.
We get them all that way.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Good.
That's a good visitation program, you see. I'm trying to tell you, listen, he wants all of you. He wants every bit of you. Amen. Amen. Jesus saved you not only to worship, but he saved you to work. Amen. That's why in Proverbs, I hope I ain't too long. I want to finish this up here. In Proverbs, that's why that virtuous woman is like a good church.
Yeah.
She's compared to a church. You say, why? Because her price is far above rubies.
Right.
So is a good church.
Yeah.
You know what she does? She feeds her household. So does a good church.
Right.
Now listen. She don't eat the bread of idleness.
Yes.
Neither does a good church. Lazy people don't do anything for God. I can't stand it. Lazy people, lazy Christians. You understand? Lazy churches don't do anything. See why? They eat the bread of idleness. No, she does. She gives off her light at night. That's what a good church does. She's giving off light. In this dark world.
Amen.
See, he saved you to work.
Yes.
He's going to get glory out of this work. It's all about him getting glory. He said, I'm going to take them water pots. I'm going to do something with them. And when I get done, I'm going to get all the glory.
Amen.
Water pots wasn't going to get the glory. The marriage wasn't going to get the glory. He said, I'm going to get the glory.
Amen.
He saved you to work. That's why he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
Works.
Yeah.
He saved you to work.
Amen.
Y'all with me? He saved you to worship.
Yes.
Now, you're saved to be waiting for his returning.
Amen.
But you got to watch that waiting. I read a story one time. You might have read the story. I thought it was a good story. Talked about a man out on a ship, and they were coming in the harbor. And it said this man went out on the bow, and he got his binoculars out. And he said, George, he said, I see your wife, and Bill, I see your wife. And there's a fellow on there. He said, do you see my wife? And he said, no, I don't see her. And he got off, and he went in a building, and there sat his wife. And she said, honey, I've been waiting on you. He said, I know you have, but why wasn't you watching?
Amen.
Some people just sitting around waiting.
Yeah. Come on. Good,
amen. But you know what he said now? You watch.
Right.
Occupy till I come.
Right.
That means stay busy. Occupy.
Amen.
Y'all with me? God wants,
there's
probably a water pot in here. There might be a willy hoat in here. The night I got saved, I had pants with stripes going that way and a shirt with stripes going that way. Lived in a poor neighborhood, broken up family. God said, there's a water pot down there at 72.
Said,
Vankirk, I'm going to get some glory out of. You never know on a night like this who is here. They've never been born again. You're empty inside. You don't feel God. You don't have anything inside. You can come tonight. It's no accident I'm here. God sent me here to tell you about this tonight.
Amen.
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 Let's stand tonight. I just want to say this, and then I'll get out of the way and give it to the preacher. I pray that... you'll listen to the message tonight.